to talk about the kingdom and about rewards. We all like rewards, and I do believe that we will have spiritual heavenly rewards. I truly believe that. I believe God has a great gift waiting on us in the future kingdom. We suffer a lot here, but I think that we will be rewarded for our faithfulness to Him when the time comes. In Matthew 20, Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven. And He gives a parable, an example. And what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to read verses 1 through 16. I'm going to read just straight through. And I've got 6 points we're going to make. They're on the screen. 6 points of what Jesus is really saying here in chapter 20. A lot of us have probably read this parable, but I want to explain what He's really talking about. All right, chapter 20, verse 1. This is all Jesus speaking, all 16 verses. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them unto the vineyard. I'm going to read off the screen, I'm sorry. He went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said to them, go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Agreement was made here with Jesus. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They said to him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. Once again, an agreement. So even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith to his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. Now notice the one that only worked an hour got paid the same as the one that started in the very beginning. But when they first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and likewise received every man a penny. They all got paid the same. Some worked more, some worked less. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour. They've only worked 1 hour. And thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered and said to them, I do thee no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a penny? Take what is yours and go your way, and I give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many called, but few chosen. And most of us have read this before, and it's a parable of the kingdom of heaven, talking about reward. Talking about, using an example, the one that worked 1 hour gets paid the same, it's working the whole day. Now before, this has been taught, and we seem to want to jump into, that means that, if Joe Brown gets saved at 70 and I got saved at 10, we have the same reward. He's not talking this way. That's not what he's trying to equate here. And I got 6 points I want to make on this verse, on this parable. In my voice, I'm sorry about my voice. Point one. He does not compare us to one another, but our fulfillment of our own stewardship. Each one receives a reward based on their stewardship with what they do. God's not going to compare Joe Brown to James Lewis, or Gail to Joe, or Stacy to Donna. There's no comparison going on. Our reward based on this parable is based on our own stewardship of what we do with what God gave us. That's why it's important that we do the very best we can with what God gave us. We all don't have the same talents or the same skills. There are many pastors much better than me. There are many preachers that preach to much larger crowds than me. There are singers that are, better than other singers. There are, we all have different gifts and abilities. I can't play a musical instrument. Bruce can. We can't compare ourselves to each other. We take the gifts God gave us and we use them for His glory, whatever that is. And try to find, you know, I learned a long time ago, when I first started the ministry, I was going to be true to myself. Something I learned as a young person from my parents, or especially my mom, be true to yourself. Be who you are. Don't try to be anybody else. Well, that carried over into ministry. I watch other pastors. I watch other preachers. You know, I watch TV preachers, and I see other, you know, leaderships and spiritual leaders, and you're like, man, they're so dynamic, and they have this, you know, they have this little thing they do, or they have this little niche they're in, or they have this little following, or or whatever. Thank you. And I learned, you know what? God, I've got to be true to who I am and who you call me to be. And I realize that I realize my limitations, and I realize the limit of my abilities. And so I not that I don't strive to continue to grow and learn, and we shouldn't try to be our best, we can. But I also recognize there are gifts that I don't possess as much as others. But I also realize God has given me certain gifts that others don't have as well. And to me, that's very important. I had a person call me yesterday, and they really felt guilty. Says, Pastor, I'm so sorry. I know I've not talked to you in over a year, and I meant to keep in touch, and I'm really sorry. But said, I need to talk to you, and you were the first one that came to my mind. You know, and I'm honored by that. I really am honored. It used to annoy me, to be honest. But as I matured spiritually and began to really listen to God, I like, that's an honor. That's really an honor. And so I realized that, you know, for whatever reason, God put me in the path of that life. And so I take that with joy. I take it with celebration. Okay, God, this is what you blessed us with. You know, and I realize there are so many other pastors, even around here, that would love to have even what we have here. Who are like, wow, you got a nice building, and it's paid for, and you got a good-sized congregation, and wow, things are going good. So I recognize that. So we must not compare ourselves to others. We must understand that we must fulfill our own stewardship, and God rewards us based on that. Point two out of this parable. Our ways are not God's ways. That's Scripture, of course. Our perspective can be wrong. See, we try to think how, you know, God doesn't think like we think. You know, we think like this parable, you know, because we think natural. I mean, I'd be mad, you know, if I'm down at, Ron is down at Freightliner, he worked 12-hour day, and they come give him a daily check for his money, and then old Bubba come in and worked 1 hour and got the same amount of money. Ron would be like, you talking about the Bible coming out? He'd be like, you know what? Eye for an eye, two for a tooth is what I'm about to say. You mean he worked 1 hour and I worked 12 and he gets the same paycheck? Well, didn't you agree to work 12 hours for his paycheck? Well, yeah. Well, he agreed to work that hour for a paycheck. Yeah. Ain't I the boss? Well, yeah. Isn't it my job? Don't I make the decision on who gets what? Well, yeah. What you complaining about then? We'll get to that point in a minute. That's on down one of the points. But our perspective can be so wrong sometimes. You know, we see, we may see someone that, we may see someone, just think naturally how perspective is wrong. Someone comes to church, they don't dress the nicest, they look a little shabby, and all of a sudden we're passing a judgment on them when we know nothing about who they even are. Even who they are. We don't know their story, we don't know where they came from. You know, we had a woman a few years ago that was coming for a while, she moved back to West Virginia. Everybody that moves to West Virginia moves back, I don't know why. Every one of them moved back, they can't stay put. But we've lost like 3 or 4 families back to West Virginia. But anyway, they were coming, and this woman was a very common-looking woman, very average, only came for a few months. Y'all wouldn't even recognize she walked in the door now because she only came, she sat back in that corner and came for a few months. And I don't even know how she found us. I mean, she wasn't around long for me to even connect with, to even know how she found us, really, just her story. But she started coming, very common-looking woman by herself, probably in her 50s, very unassuming, very quiet, just sat back there for a few months. We get a check in the offering plate one Sunday morning for $7,500 from this woman. Well, not that no seed matters, all seed matters, but that seed warrants a pastor call. Just saying. So I call her up. I says, look, first of all, thank you. And see, the Lord moved because that was at a point we had gotten, still to this day, that was the lowest we'd gotten to our operating fund. We were down so low. I was getting, for the first time, really concerned that we were going to dip into our building fund to pay expenses. Because, I mean, we were getting that low. And then this woman put in that check. So I called her, and I talked to her, and I said, thank you so much. Well, I mean, you don't know what that done. We were at the lowest point. This builds us back up and gets us back to where we need to be, you know. And I said, thank you. And she said, well, I said, what happened? I sold a house, and the Lord spoke to me sitting in your service to give tithes off that sale. And said, I fought it. I'll be honest. I didn't want to write that check. Even when the offering plate came, so I didn't want to let go. But I knew I had to. God spoke to me to give it. Well, she didn't come but a few more weeks, and then she just disappeared. I've tried tracking her, tried finding her, because, you know, I want another check. I've tried tracking her, tried finding her, and she just, like, disappeared. I don't know. I guess she moved back to where, so I didn't even have any contact information on her. And I did have a number, actually. I did have a phone number, and I kept calling, but it was weird. It wouldn't, I don't know if it went to, like, a one of the voicemails with no voice. I don't know. But anyway, I could never get a hold of her. And she just, after that, disappeared. It was like, just gone. But see, the perspective is like, nobody would look at her. No human would say, when the offering ushers are walking around, Gail's not going to walk around and say, I bet she's going to give $7,500 this morning. And here she was. And then sometimes the ones that drive the Cadillacs, got the gold chains, they don't put nothing in the plate. Nothing. So sometimes our human perspective is really wrong. So Jesus is trying to teach us here that just because you're upset because he got paid the same, I'm looking at things different than you're looking at things. So we have to look at it from God's point of view, which we can't because we're not God. But it does help us understand our ways aren't God's ways. Thank God for that. Once again, I think, what if we were God? Can you imagine if any of us were God and had all the decision-making to do what we want with people's lives? I mean, good gracious. Point three. We must not compare ourselves to others. Only Christ can measure that. And I said that a little bit on the other point. I went into that a little bit. We are very bad sometimes of trying to compare ourselves to other Christians, other people, other deacons, other singers, other preachers, other, you know, whatever you do. You know, we try to compare ourselves. And when we do that, we're really taking away from what God's wanting us to do. Each one of us have our own commission. Each one of us have our own call. Each one of us have our own thing that God gave us. You know, and I think about Rodney, for example, how he gets up here, and Rodney has filled in for me many times. And me and him are completely different in our styles of preaching. And, you know, Rodney's more of a teacher than a preacher. Randy's a teacher, not a preacher. I'm a preacher, not really a teacher. I mean, I can teach, but I'd rather just let the Holy Ghost go and preach. That's what I like doing. And so each of us have our own thing. And so when Rodney gets up here and says something like, you know, has 5 minutes to say something, it can be a very profound point in 5 minutes. It's like, wow, that was good. Did you say that there was cars mentioned in the Bible earlier? Yeah. There's cars. I said they were all on one quarter. I thought you said that, but you didn't follow up on that. I'm like, there's not cars in the Bible, is there? Did you hear what he said, Joe? Joe Rodney said there's cars. Cars is listed in the Bible. I said, cars? He says, yeah. They were all in one accord. Oh, that's funny. But anyway, I have to remember that. That's great. But anyway, what Rodney does, he has a vital role in what he does and what he speaks. And, you know, Joe has a vital role in what he's been in this church all these years. Joe's never been on this pulpit with a microphone. But what Joe's done behind the scenes is immeasurable. What Joe does on his knees every day is immeasurable. Because, see, everybody doesn't do that. All of us can't pray as good as others or as long as others. That's not our thing, to just, you know, really just maybe get down and spend, you know, some real time in prayer. Some of us, we don't have the patience for it, or we just don't have the desire maybe for it or whatever. So each of us has something that offers the kingdom of God something and offers people something. And Jesus is saying, don't compare yourselves what he got and what he got and what he got. Worry about what you got and do it right. And do it the best of your ability. Take the seed God gave you and cultivate it and grow it and use it. Because you're impacting more than you realize. I think through the years of this ministry, 13 years now we've been in ministry. And Me and my mother talked about this. There have been, of course, all don't stay. I realize that. They don't all stay in any church. But through the 13 years, we have had there. I know it's surpassed 1,000 people that we have touched through 13 years. Different people, I mean, that were part of our church, moved on, another flood come in, move on, another come in, move on. There have been, I know, probably 1,000 people or more this ministry has reached. So though we're not in a big cathedral, we don't have 1,000-seat sanctuary, I do think about how God has used each of us to impact so many lives that have went on, like Bob and Pat, like Dean and Jamie Mullins in West Virginia, like Shannon Eichen in Florida, like Millie in Florida, like Dave and Tori Messick in Kansas, you know, and others around here that just have moved on somewhere else or wherever they're at. But all the years that we've been here, the faces have come through that have heard the word of God, that have been touched by His presence, touched by His grace. Many that have cried at this altar, I mean, many that have been at this altar shedding tears, no longer with us, but they have shed tears and they got something from God they needed in that moment, in that season of their life. And so I thank God, okay, if that's where you've got me, that's where you want me, that's where I'm at. If we could learn to be, I guess what I'm saying is, happy with the seed God gave us and use it. That's what you gave me. You know, I don't have some things maybe I would like to have, but you know what? God, you're the one that gives me those gifts. The Bible says God divides as He wills. And so I got to trust what He gave me is what He wanted me to have and then use it for His glory. Point number four. Focus on your own calling, not on someone else's. See, I always thought, and only my parents and Rod and Tammy and Stacy knows, well, Sam, knows my former pastor, who I was under for about 26 years. And I was, you know, his right hand for many, many years. I preached many Sunday nights, many Wednesday nights, taught Sunday school, teenagers and adults, and was there. And I would sit up on that pulpit while he was preaching behind him, and I'd watch how he walked, and I'd watch his mannerism. I respected him so much. I was a very young man then, you know, when I first started really working under him. I was, you know, 19, 20 years old, and all through my 20s I was there. So I was a very young man, and I'd watch him, and I always pictured myself when I, you know, if I was ever a pastor, I'd be a lot like him. And as Tammy and Rodney will tell you, and my parents, and Melanie, and probably Stacy, I'm not. Nothing like him. And there's nothing wrong with that either way. I had to learn to realize I can't walk in someone else's shoes. I can't be that person. I've got to be who God's called me to be. Now, I think my former pastor is much deeper in many ways than I am, and he's, of course, much more experienced. He's almost 80 years old, so he's been preaching for years and years. But he has gifts, and he operates in things that I don't. But at the same time, I operate in a way he doesn't either. And I'm thankful that I'm who I am. And I'm thankful God made me who I am as a pastor. And so it's easy to try to want to mimic someone or be that person. I know Melanie's got a story. Can I tell your cheerleading story? Is that too personal? Melanie had a cheerleading story. Why don't you tell it? You were like, I don't want to get on. Like Elvis. She probably would have made it. So it's important that we learn to focus on our calling. And there are people that, I've had to protect this church before. Many of you don't know this. That's my job as a pastor. But I've had folks come in this church through the years that have subtly, I knew what they were trying to do, trying to get in and try to kind of work their way into leadership to try to have some authority in the church when it wasn't their calling to do that. And it's not that I don't want help. I do. I want qualified help that God sends. You know, I've used Rodney many times. I trust Rodney. He's proven himself. But there's a lot of people that come in that they have a mission, and that's to be seen and to even divide a church and to destroy it and to pull. I couldn't tell you the stories I hear, and I know y'all hear this. There are stories where a preacher will, you know, one thing about this church, which is good, I mean, it's good for me, not good for y'all maybe, is I can't be voted out of the church. You know, it's a church that I started, it's in the bylaws, I can't be voted out. So if people don't like the church, they just have to move somewhere else. Whereas many churches, people get together, deacons and stuff, and they vote the pastor out. You know, I don't like always preaching, we're getting rid of them. Well, a lot of times that happens. These preachers then take a lot of the congregation with them because they part of the congregation like that preacher. And so they divide the church, and churches keep getting divided and split, and there's hurt feelings over and over and over, and that happens all the time. And so I'm very protective when people come in this church that I think have an agenda and want to try to take over something. I'm very cautious. I'm like, what do you want to do? What's going on here? That's not your calling. You know, if you want to have a church of your own, then go start a church. I mean, it's that simple. It's not that I mind sharing a platform with someone that God's called or that God's put me with. That's fine. But just to come in and have easy access to something and say, you know what, I'm just going to do my thing and no matter who I hurt, that ain't going to happen. We got to be true to our own calling. And that means all of us, whatever that calling is. And, you know, I always pictured myself being more an evangelist. I always figured I would be one to go out and do all this, but God had different plans. I'll be honest, I never really saw myself really as a pastor. If anything, I thought I might, you know, take over my pastor I was with so many years. But, you know, that's the only thing I ever thought about. But to have this, I never dreamed of, but God had a different plan. And God knew what he was doing. And God calls each of us, so be true to it. Don't try to follow someone else's calling. Point five in this parable Jesus made. Heavenly rewards are based on God's standard and our faithfulness to our calling and attitude and action. You know, that's a little long, so I know you, but think of it this way. We all of us think of it this way, I'm sure. I mean, I do my human perspective. Man, Billy Graham, wow. I mean, boy, he's going to, and I know it's not natural. I'm just talking natural. I'm just talking so we all understand it. Boy, Billy Graham, man, if he's going to live in the Biltmore house, I'll probably get some log cabin off Beverly Hillbillies. You know, because, man, look what he's done compared to what I've done. I bet Billy Graham will have a pool that's monogrammed BG in the center of the bottom of the pool. And I'll have a wash tub, silver with cold water, sitting in the backyard, not mowed. Because look what he's done compared to what I've done. But heavenly rewards are not based on our standards or what we see in someone. They're based on God's standard. And they're based on the faithfulness we have shown through our attitude and action. Miss Sharon, for an example. Let's use her. Sharon was one of our first, well, her and Tammy, one of our first Sunday school teachers when we first started church. And Sharon's done it for almost, you just left in August, and you did it pretty much from when you first started, almost, didn't you? So for a good 11 years, 12 years, she was a teacher. And Miss Sharon, for all those years, in that little Sunday school, you taught the fire department too, is that right, in the kitchen? So in that little kitchen, the Monticello Fire Department, then we moved over here, week after week after week, year after year after year, she taught the incoming kids coming through those doors. Saw many of them grow up, move on, next batch come in, grew up, moved on, next batch, grew up, moved on. Now, we think, well, Sharon's reward, yeah, but come on, Pastor, Billy Graham. What was Sharon's attitude? She was faithful with what God gave her. She took it to heart, and she loved those kids, and she gave it her all week after week, prepared a lesson, taught them about the same Jesus Billy Graham talks about. So we look at standards of people and think rewards are based on, wow, look what they've done, and I've only done this. But God looks at the heart. Understand, God knows Sharon can't do what Billy Graham did. She wasn't called to do what Billy Graham did. She was called to be Joe's wife, the mother of her children, and working with children. Because she worked with kids in Ohio as well. That was her calling. That was her thing. I want to teach and work with children all of my life. And so that reward is just as big in God's eyes. And so our heavenly rewards, we can't measure them based on what we think we've accomplished. But God sees what we've done with the seed he gave us. Were you faithful with what I gave you? Did you give it your all? Were you consistent? Did you do it with the right attitude? You know, the Bible talks to me as a pastor and says, for me, in Hebrew, says that, you know, the Bible says, obey those who have spiritual rule over you. And then to me it says, you know, to lead and not rule really, but to lead, you know, without restraint, to lead with love and with compassion. Don't lead with, of course we have bad moments and ain't always fun. But as a whole, I'm talking about a pastor's heart doesn't need to be done with a spirit of bitterness or anger or, frustration. It needs to be done with a heart of compassion, understanding, and always giving. And that's hard sometimes. But that's why God calls pastors. Because a pastor's heart is different than an evangelist's heart. An evangelist can come preach the mess out of a message, get you on fire, preach the Holy Ghost, it comes down in person, and then walk away. And then the pastor's stuck with all the problems. So it's a different calling. Try calling an evangelist about your marital problem. Well, I'm on the road. I got a revival. I'll tell you what, I got a good pastor friend I'll send you to. I'm not saying they won't talk to you. I'm saying as a whole, that's not their call. Their call is to minister on the road, to travel here and there, and really just preach the word. Whereas a pastor preaches the word, an overseer, a teacher, a listener, a counselor, a motivator, a cheerleader. All those things. And so the call is different. It's different. But God is looking at what attitude and what faithfulness are we serving God with. It may just be you're a prayer warrior. It may just be you're just faithful in being at church. You're faithful in supporting the church. You're faithful in supporting each other. You're like Joe Brown, and you're faithful in every night praying for your church family and for the kingdom of God. That's what you do. You pray. God sees that you're taking time to pray for others. So be true to that. God's reward is based on attitude and action, not based on what we see. Point six, the last one. This is what we don't like, really. This is what this parable is teaching us. The Lord is free to do what he wishes. Anything is more than we deserve. He is both sovereign and gracious. And so sometimes we question God. I know we all do. I have. We all have. God doesn't seem fair. I'm going through this. It doesn't seem fair I'm going through this trial, this storm. I don't like it. It doesn't seem fair, God. I feel like there's more on me than I can bear. It doesn't seem fair that, I've lost my wife to cancer, or I've lost a child, or I've, lost my job, or they foreclosed my house, or God, it don't seem fair. But anything is more than we deserve that God gives us. God owes us nothing. That's why it's grace. It's unmerited favor. It's something we didn't earn and don't deserve, but yet he gives it to us. He gives us that grace. He gives us that blessing. He gives us that marriage. He gives us that child that is wonderful and we're proud of. He gives us that good job to pay the bills. He gives us good health. Those are just bonuses, blessings that we don't deserve. God didn't guarantee Gail would live to be 72 years old. That's an old shirt, right? 72? There's no guarantee. If something happened tomorrow, Gail can't say, if you got a bad report tomorrow, Gail can't say, well, Lord, I ain't fair. You're taking me, I got 6 months to live. I ain't been here for 72 years. God's like, what, 72 years you didn't have? Could have been 62. Could have been 52. You cannot send your daughter to grow up. Couldn't send your grandkids. You live for all that. And you've seen them grown and seen them have kids, and they're all settled, and they're doing good. Well, anyway, they're grown, and they're settled. Kids ain't never settled, are they, brother? They don't never see anything get settled. So anything's a gift. Joe Brown has fought physical sickness, physical problems his whole life. He can say, God, it ain't fair. I gave you my heart. I've served in my church in Ohio. I've served in North Carolina. I've knocked on doors. I've done puppet shows for you. I've taught hundreds of kids in for your name. I tithe my offering. I pray every day, more than once a day. It ain't fair, God, my feet hurt. It ain't fair I got pain on my shoulders. It ain't fair that I've got all these issues. And God is like, but I saved you, Joe Brown. And one day, all that's going to be over. And you'll have a kingdom reward. And you know what? You were still able to work to provide for your family to the point you could. And I'm still taking care of you now. If we look at things differently, instead from human perspective, look at it how God is trying to teach us. Anything's more than we deserve, and he's free to do what he wishes. We don't tie God's hands and demand him to do something for us. We can pray, we can ask, we can believe. I do believe that. But when we don't get the right answer, well, God, that ain't fair. Remember the Andy Griffith episode where Opie met that new boy, that brat boy from the out of town? had a nice bicycle, and he was a little brat. I ride my bike on the sidewalk. And he went to his dad, says, you know, so-and-so, Harold, whatever his name was, he gets a dollar a week for allowance. I only get a quarter. He don't have to do anything, gets a dollar. Andy, a dollar? For doing nothing? Yep, that's the going rate, Pa. That's how it's going now. You know, one time he raised his voice to Andy, says, that's not fair. Don't you raise your voice to me. What do you mean that's not fair? I mean, really look at perspective. What's not fair? The boy getting a dollar for doing nothing is not fair. Getting a dollar for doing nothing, what's that teaching him? And so, if we can recognize and realize everything God gives us truly is a bonus, from waking up today to our having our wife, our children, our husband, our health, be able to walk in here, see with our eyes, hear with our ears, have our right mind. Isn't that a blessing? I saw my grandma Lewis pass away of Alzheimer's. Didn't know who the family was. Didn't know who her children were. It's a terrible thing to see that happen. I've got an uncle, same thing, has no clue who you are. Pastored for 40 years, and now don't know a soul. I mean, don't know anything. Just mind gone. Thank God we have that. Thank God we still know and can recognize things in life. How sad that is when you see that happen. How sad. I've got a friend of mine who's going battling cancer. He's just a few years older than me and been battling cancer in and out. And he went away, and now it's back. And he's back taking treatments. And, you know, we got Marjorie's husband, Steve, down at Baptist, who is, I mean, he's a miracle. It's not good. Still a young man. Got two children, a 20-year-old and then that 7-year-old. And so I guarantee it'd be a blessing for him just to be able to be here tonight in no pain, be able to breathe and walk in and out without having any pain. And here we are, so blessed. So blessed. And Jesus is trying to teach us the kingdom of heaven and the parable of this and these points, that it's up to him what he does. He blesses. He closes doors and he opens doors. He gives and he takes away, so to speak. He is sovereign. And if we could learn, God, I trust you in the moments I don't like it, it's still more than I deserve. I've had a marriage of 24 years. That is wonderful. If that was gone tomorrow, I could say, God, you gave me 24 years of something many never experience. You've given me 3 kids when so many can't have their own kids. And I've got them. There's so many things that if we look at it from a different perspective, wow. I mean, I'm only 44. There are a lot of people that, you know, die younger than me. A lot of men, me and Rodney's age group, it's dying. Heart attacks and even cancer and automobile accidents. They're just gone. They're dead. A lot of me and Rodney's age already have severe back problems and chronic pain and all kinds of issues. And I don't know about Rodney, but I'm still okay. A little slower getting off my knees than it used to be. Yeah. But I can still get up on my own. I ain't got to have no help yet. So when we really think about all that God's done for us and all that he's going to do for us. And so each one of us will have our own rewards in heaven. But they're not going to be based on, we tend to measure on, well, I did all this in the earth, but I got a big old chocolate cake waiting on me. It depends on what your attitude was. On what your heart was, and did you fulfill your mission to the best of your... Was you a faithful steward over what God gave you? That's what scares me as a pastor. I'm like, man, God, am I really doing all I can do with the opportunity you've given me? I think we could all evaluate ourselves. Or am I really doing all, God, with what you've given me, the ability? Am I doing all with what you give me? Am I really reaching out? You know, because each of us, one thing God gave me and blessed me with, and Melanie too, actually, we are very similar here. But God gave me the ability I truly can connect with people and talk to a stranger. It doesn't bother me at all. I can walk up to people, and there's people that open up to me. I can be at food line, perking out of my aisle, and just I say, I don't even know them. Are you okay? What's going on? And they'll just open up and start talking to me. Everybody can't do that. And so I say, okay, God, that's something you've given me, a gift, to be able to try to reach out to people. Am I really reaching like I should be reaching? Am I trying to touch every life that I can? So whatever our gifts are, whatever God has equipped us with, are we doing it to the best of our abilities? Because there are kingdom rewards, just like he gave them a penny a day for their work, each one of us will receive our denaro, whatever that is. But it won't be based on what we think we've accomplished. It'll be based on how God sees it. How God sees it. So, in the meantime, we serve God faithfully with the right attitude and the right heart. We give unto God. We serve God. We love God. We're faithful to God. And we just do what He's called us to do. And, you know, we can't complain because, you know, this person's so blessed and here I am struggling. You know, and I'll be honest. I've questioned that before myself. You know, I've questioned with Bob passing away. Me and Melody talked about it. How Bob did so much for this ministry. How Bob invested that van for this ministry. And how Bob gave his tithes every week, faithfully, week. I mean, he always gave. And then he moved away, and he got in church up there, got his kids in church, and then started having all these health problems. And Bob was only 56 years old when he passed away. And I'm like, Lord, he was so faithful to you. And sometimes it don't make sense why he had to go through so much sickness and pain. And his past is horrible. His past, a little boy in them orphanages growing up and getting beaten, thrown downstairs and abused and not loved. And his story's horrible. But then I think about, okay, well, Lord, maybe just got his reward a lot sooner. That's all I can think about. Maybe I know he's blessed now. And, you know, he was saved. Maybe, and I know God can heal. I understand that. But for whatever reason, he wasn't healed on this side. So, God, maybe you just rescued him and saved him from another 10 or 20 years of just suffering. I mean, I don't know. But I know he's got a reward now. I know Bob's been rewarded now. Because he was so faithful with what God gave him. He was a good steward over what God gave him spiritually. So that's a lesson for us all, I think, to evaluate, to do that. Kingdom rewards. We're all going to have them. But don't think yours will be any less because you didn't do as much as someone else. It's all about fulfilling your calling and doing what you got. See, the guy that got the full day page could be the Billy Graham, so to speak. And the guy that got the 1 hour page could be the barber and genie that cleans the church on Friday mornings. But each one has a reward that's equivalent to their service for God and their attitude and their faithfulness. So we all have things we can do. Any comments, any questions on that? Right. Yep. Your word that teaches us, Lord, that all you really want of us is to be faithful, just faithful. Faithful to what you've called us to do. Faithful to the gifts you've given us. Faithful to be good stewards over what you've entrusted us with. Each one of us have something to do. We have a calling. We have a gift. We can't always do what others can do, but we can do what you've called us to do. And Lord, let us do that with faithfulness, with obedience, with love. And let us do with all that's within us that you get the glory. We're thankful, Lord, for every day you give us. Every day is a gift of life. Every day is something that we don't deserve, God. We didn't deserve it, God. We didn't, but you went to the cross in our place. And you suffered. And you paid the price. You canceled out our debt that we owed. You canceled the debt, God, that we owed. And we thank you for that. I pray you bless every heart in here. Inspire us to go out here this rest of this week and just be that faithful steward, Lord. Whatever hour of the day you've given us to be, whether we're the first hour of the day or the 11th hour of the day, that we do it with all that we have to show people who our Father is. Bless every heart in this place. Keep each one of us safe as we go home tonight. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.